Good morning, everyone. This is Oral Fitzsimmons, the field director of Local 100 in Houston, Texas, from deep in the heart of Texas. Today we have Carmen Thomas with us speaking. She's a member here in Houston. She's a food service manager in HISD at Belford Elementary. So to get started with our interview, why don't we start with a discussion about your personal history? Where do you come from, Carmen?
I'm originally from Huntsville, Texas, maybe 75 miles from Houston going north, I-45.
They got a prison up there, don't they?
They do. It's called the Walls. It's the capital of the prisons system. In Texas, the prison system, yes.
Well, listen, you mentioned earlier that you'd been they used to have a rodeo there. For the prisoners.
They did.
And you used to go to it when you was a young girl.
Yes, back in the day they had a prison rodeo, and we had visitors from all over the state that would come to see it, and the inmates, they would ride the bulls, the cows, and the...
Chase the pigs.
Pigs, horse, roping, everything to do with a rodeo, that's what they did.
What do you think those prisoners did once they got that pig? You think they cooked it up?
I don't know what they did. I was only a little girl, so I was just enjoying the entertainment.
Well, you know, I went to that rodeo twice. And one time I went and saw Willie Nelson. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start working for HISD?
September the 11th, 1989. I was hired by Anna Holmes in the administration building on Richmond Avenue.
A day? That will go down in infamy.
Yes, it
so
will.
So, was it 89 or 98?
It was 1989, okay. September the 11th. I will not forget.
So, how many years has that been? 89, 99?
27 years. It'll be 28 years this coming September the 11th.
Well, that's a long history in one company. That hardly happens anymore.
Well, when you enjoy what you do, it's not like work.
So, what was your first job in HISD?
I was a cafeteria cashier. So I only worked 4 hours a day at the beginning, and it was very convenient for me with my children because I was able to leave home after they left, and I was able to be home when they got back. So it was very convenient. I guess that's why I never sought after other work, paying a lot more money because it was so convenient for my children. But now, it's a different story.
Well, how many children do you have?
I have 3 children, Petrina, Viesa, and Paul.
Oh, and they're all grown up nice and big, I
grown
suppose.
Up with children,
how many grandchildren
wives, and
do you
husbands.
Got?
I have 13 grandchildren.
Any great-grandchildren?
No.
Oh, okay. Just 22.
Yes.
3 kids, 22. 13 grandchildren. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that makes for a good Thanksgiving dinner, I bet.
It does. Very proud of my family.
So, you were a cashier for, what, 2 or 3 years, and then they said maybe you should take the test to become a food service manager?
Yes. I was a cashier for 3 years, and I had a manager at the school where I worked at Concord Elementary. She was retiring, and she told me that she say, you should, you know, up your game a little bit and get the best of the job. Don't stay into the cashier position. I'm about to retire. Why don't you try to get this position? And I listened to her, and she trained me on the job. And as she trained me, HISD Food Service saw that I was ready after I got my certificate, and I interviewed with the principal there at Concord Elementary, and she hired me on the spot, so I didn't have to relocate. I was able to work there.
So how long did you work there at Concord?
I worked there for 4 years.
And then you moved over to
Bruce Elementary.
Bruce Elementary, okay. Uh-huh. Moving around a little bit. How long were you there?
I think I was there maybe 4 or 5 years.
Then what happened?
And Oh, it was a situation came up where I had to use the union.
Tell me about that.
The union was on my side.
Who signed you up to the union?
Oral Fitzsimmons.
Oh, that's me.
Yes, he signed me up.
First year you worked as
a
cashier.
Yes, he's been a good friend all these years.
Well, I like you speaking well of him.
But I happened to...
What happened?
...have a problem at Bruce that was... it seemed more of a setup or something more than anything. But I came out really good. I'm still working on the job. But I was sent home for 30 days. And I had to go to a conference with Oral Fitzsimmons two or three times at the administration building before I was finalized to come back to work. Well, so it was a situation that's passed and gone and forgotten.
Amen. But did you ever have any need for my services again? No?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's what the history will say then. You work at Belford now. What's the best thing about working at Belford?
Oh, the children. Over the whole course of my work career, they have always been the children. Whether it was whatever grade level, whether it was elementary, middle school, or high school, it was always about being involved with the children and seeing them say that the food was good or thank you or just having a small conversation with them. It was always about the children.
So you've had some second generations, right? You've been at the school so long, maybe a child will grow up and have a baby or two, and they'll come by and you'll be feeding their kids.
Yes, I've saw first and second generation. Even working at the grocery stores in the neighborhood, I've saw children that have worked at the school since they were... I saw one young lady work at the bank, you know, have grown up to be a very fine young lady. She used to go... to Concord, and Concord only went to the fifth grade, so she's an employee at the bank now, you know, very
well,
nice.
If anyone needs a loan, we know a banker. Hey,
see.
Listen, the best thing's the children. I think that was really good to hear. Now, let's talk a little bit about your history with Local 100. You joined Local 100 in 1989, and I think you already said maybe it was me that signed you up. And I think why did you sign up to begin with?
Well, I just think it's always good to have a cushion. And Local 100 is like that cushion that you need when you need it. And I actually recommend any new employee that has a union base to join.
Because no matter where they work.
Because you never know. Yes.
You never know when you might need us. Now, in most jobs that don't have unions, they can fire you for three reasons. A good reason, a bad reason, and my favorite, no reason at all.
Yes, yes. Well.
But with a union, you can fight back. In your case, we went to three different meetings. Well, most of the time, they only have one meeting, and you're in or out.
Right.
But I think we brought up some things in the first meeting they didn't know about.
Right.
So they wanted to review it some more.
Right.
And it was a struggle, but staying out of work for 30 days wasn't much fun.
No, it wasn't much fun. But they were able to see that it was all a host. And I was able to return back to my employment.
Now, we have a leadership conference every year. Being that our local is... in three states, we like to get the leaders of our union together every year one time, and we always do it in a different city. This last year, we did it in Houston.
Houston,
and
yes.
Matter of fact, you and another member, Ruthie Graves, helped me a whole lot by helping feed the people lunch and dinner.
Yes, yes.
And that's something you know about because you feed how many kids a day?
It was a lot of fun to help you host the union here in the conference here in Houston. I feed like 750 children a day.
Well, feeding our 40 was just a piece of cake now.
Yeah.
And it sure was good. You know, Ruthie, our member that's already been interviewed here, her husband cooked some ribs for us.
Yes.
And he stayed up all night, and they sure were good ribs.
Yes, they were.
And all our cooking was good. And we're just hoping it's going to be just as good this year up in Shreveport.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And hopefully we're going to be doing that meeting up in Shreveport this year on September the 22nd. So our members up there in Shreveport hear about this. We sure want y'all to come out there and meet Carmen. Most likely she'll be there telling all people about this interview, how much fun it was, how we need more people. So you've been to, what, three or four different leadership conferences?
I have.
So you're pretty well educated, because that's what we do at the conferences. We teach people how to be stewards. We teach people how to be leaders. We'll be talking at this next conference about how to be on TV, and you're someone that knows all about that. What was your favorite leadership conference? Was it New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Now, what is it? Is this a fun place to party?
2012.
Well, what happened there?
Well, it was.
Tell us about the trip over there.
Very unusual trip. It was.
So halfway there, we stopped to get a soda and go to the bathroom, didn't we?
Yes, we stopped for a rest
and
break.
You tapped me on the shoulder.
And I happened to surprise Oral with a question, which was, would he be a witness for me and my husband, well, my fiancé at the time, to be a witness so that we could get married. We had already made the arrangements, because he had family in New Orleans, and we just thought it would just be exciting and financially reasonable.
Now, was
get a free ride to New Orleans,
yeah,
to get
free
married.
Ride. and get a crowd.
Yes.
And was that at Jackson Square?
That was at Jackson Square.
And what church was that in front of the church?
Cathedral.
It's a cathedral. It was some Catholic church.
Some
probably
Catholic
famous. I didn't remember the name either. But I don't forget Mr. Jackson, because he's one that won the big fight.
He just happened to get married on that leadership conference, and it was very exciting. The members were excited for us, and we hitched a ride with Oral to the ceremony, and he came back and picked us up. It was like riding an Uber. He dropped us off, and he came
and
back and
before,
picked us
that
up.
That was before Lyft and Uber, wasn't it? I was a vanguard of traveling.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a fun time. I'd never I've been a witness to a wedding before, except for my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a real pleasure to be part of that. And,
yes.
And now,
that's what friends do. I knew I could count on it.
Yeah, now, didn't y'all get a present there at the conference when you got back from getting married? A wedding present? What was it?
Yes, two Local 100 United Labor Union shirts.
T-shirts, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you wear them, I think, every year at the conference.
Yes.
We're proud of that. And just so the listeners will know, every year we require Carmen to give us a report on how the marriage is going. And so far, thumbs up.
So far, him and I, we've both attended the union conferences together, except for the one here in Houston, because he was working. But all the other four, we attended the one in New Orleans. Then we attended the one in Dallas the next year. Then we attended the one in Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge?
Uh-huh.
Did you go to the one in Little Rock?
I didn't go to Little Rock.
Okay.
But the three that we have been on, except for the one here in Houston, he all attended all of them.
Now, you will say that so far the marriage has worked out just great, and we want to let the listeners know that our members, if they come to the leadership conference and want to get married, we're all for it.
Yes, we're available. It's a good marriage situation if you want to save some money.
And get two T-shirts, one for the groom, one for the bride.
Yes.
And that's a pretty good deal. You don't know, we may have a big crowd there this year. So now, let's talk a little bit about being a big media star. Now, I say that because we were doing a campaign in HISD to try to get the district to test the water in the schools, because any school that was built before in 1986, when they joined the plumbing together, they used lead. And that lead eventually seeps into the water supply, and the kids at the water fountain drink the lead water, and it reduces their IQ by a pretty good percentage. And unfortunately, it's irreversible, so it can't ever get any better after they get polluted in elementary school. And it's really not a good way to educate children, is it?
No, it isn't.
Now, when you were there, they were about to do the testing that we got them to do for $3 million. But do you remember asking them to give you bottled water until they got the testing done?
Yes.
Did they give it to you?
No.
Well, you know, we kind of wonder about that. We told them they'd find some lead in the schools. And until they found out, they ought to be giving everybody a little water. So they wouldn't be drinking it while they were testing it and finding bad lead. Well, make a long story short, they found a bunch of lead. And but it took them $3 million to find it. But sadly to say, they've done little to rectify the problem. The people that know about this sort of stuff know that the only way solution is to put a lead filter on every water fountain. And I would say less than 20 water fountains in the school district have any lead filters on them. Anyone that's listening today, you ought to maybe check with your school and see if they'd like to do a lead test, because we don't need your kids to be polluted like they're being polluted in Houston. And if you have any questions or need any help on doing this, just give us a call at 832-566-2531. Now, on that day that you did the speech, what'd that feel like, speaking in front of the school board like that?
Well, it felt really good to be heard about my concerns.
Were they listening to you?
Yes, they were listening.
You had a microphone.
Yes, they were listening. It was a very attendance meeting, but you know, the action haven't been taken completely. But I just stood there with my union representative on the issue.
So before that school board meeting, I believe Channel 11, that'd be the CBS affiliate here in Houston, came out to your home that we're at right now and interviewed you on your front porch. Now, that never happened before, had it?
No, I had never been on television before in that capacity, or any.
Now, I think you did a really good job on that. I think they even interviewed me, but you did a good job.
Thank you.
You know what? If you've never done it, you're kind of scared about it when it's going on. But then when we looked at the product, what we had to do, I came to the school and we got the interview on the computer.
Yes,
we did. As a matter of fact, your husband was there at the same time. We all looked at it.
Yes,
and it was pretty amazing.
Yes.
Matter of fact, then he looked at you and said, "Wow, I'm married to a famous woman."
Oh, well, I don't remember that part, but I do remember seeing the interview, and you know, it was very informative to get the situation out there to the audience.
Well, you know, getting on the TV like that and talking to the school board did make them do the right thing. And $3 million is a lot of money. And they need to spend another $3 million now putting lead filters on all the drinking faucets, which that's the thing we're still working with them on. What do you think Local 100 could do in HISD to make it a better place to work?
Oh, well, pay raises are always the best thing for the lower income employees. The lower income employees, the rate of pay is just not enough to support your family.
So aren't y'all the lowest paid people out of 33,000 people? There are 2,000 food service workers. Aren't y'all the lowest paid people in the district?
We are.
Now, I wouldn't say that 99% of the workers are women. Do you think it's because you're a woman they're paying you less?
Well, I don't think it's because we are women. I think it's because they just have based that particular position in, you know, a lower price category.
Well, you know, back in the old days, in the 30s and 40s, people were working 9, 10, 12 hours a day. And then the unions got together and said, well, we want an 8-hour day. And golly gee, we got it passed, and some people do work more than 8, but after 8, you get overtime. So that was a big thing to get it down to 8 hours a day, but I think the people that work in your kitchen only work 7 hours a day.
Yes, they only work 7. Actually, we're not considered full-time employees. We're considered part-time employees.
Well, when you go down to the grocery store, do they ask you for full-time or part-time before they give you your bill?
Well, they want full-time money,
but
we have part-time pay.
So they're making you live in the fourth largest city in the country, and they're not even letting you get a good salary. One way they give you a good salary is to let you, in your case, you work 7.5 hours a day.
Yes, I do.
Well, they could give you 8, and that'd be a half hour more a day.
Yes.
How much money, more money that'd be? That'd be $2,000 more a year.
Oh, that would be great.
Now, the ladies that work for you in the kitchen make about $15,000 a year. Now, one of the problems is that a lot of the ladies don't work in the summertime. So most workers that work 40 hours a week, they do 2,080 hours in a year. But the food service workers, the line workers, are only working 1,302 hours. That's one of the reasons they're in poverty, is because they don't have a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I talk to these ladies in the kitchens, I said, look over there, that custodian over there cleaning that floor. She, just like you, she makes 8 hours a day. You go in the office and there's a clerk. She gets 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the teacher aide. Most of them are she's.
Mm-hmm.
She working 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if you look around, everyone's working 8 hours a day except who?
The food service
workers.
The food service
persons. Now, mm-hmm. we understand that the way this started, it started at the very beginning, and women didn't even have the right to vote. So, you know, they didn't say about this. They just want to work you cheap and keep you in poverty because they think it must be good for your children. Now, that can only be the only reason they're doing it. Maybe that's not the case. But it's been, ever since HISD's been here, these women have been given substandard hours to work, which makes their income substandard. The other thing that cuts out their wages is that they don't work in the summertime. And, you know, which would be okay if you could draw unemployment. Our definition of unemployment is that when you don't work, you're unemployed. But here in the state of Texas, of all places, the great state of Texas, there are three categories of employees that can't draw unemployment. Now, we understand why those rich football and baseball and basketball players don't need unemployment.
They have
plenty
of money.
We got players making $15, $20 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
They're okay. They don't need unemployment.
Right.
Then you got the food service ladies, or any school district employee can't get unemployment in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're making $60,000, $70,000 a year as a teacher, you don't need it either.
Right.
But if you're only making $15,000 a year, you do need it.
Right.
Now, there's another category.
I agree.
You know what the third category is of people that can't get unemployment? Ballerinas. Now, why are food service workers, $100,000, $200,000 ballerina, $1 million football player, why are y'all in the same legal category? Doesn't seem fair, does it?
It doesn't.
Well, it's been that way for a long time, and the reason is they think they can get away with it because y'all are women.
Oh.
Now, in the old days, well, everyone's married, everyone had a husband, this was just a little part-time job. Well, those days are gone. A lot of these women, of the 2,000 people that work in this district, don't have husbands. And they're providing for 2-3 kids on $15,000 a year. It just doesn't work right. So when you make that woman live in poverty, you're making her kids live in poverty.
The majority of them have second jobs.
Right.
I know a lot of the ladies that I talk to, so many of them have second jobs. And I think it's so unfair because that means they have to get someone to watch their children. And, you know, it's so hard to work and not really, you know about the care of your children. So, you know, that's the unfortunate thing about making such low wages, is that you have to get a second job. And after working on a 7.5 hour job, who wants to work on a second job? But unfortunately, sometimes you have to do what you have to do in order
to
pay your bills and keep a roof over your head.
Feed your kids.
Right.
It seems like women that are feeding kids at school ought to have enough money to feed their kids right at the house.
That's right. That's right.
Now, what is the best thing about being a member of Local 100?
The best thing about being a member of Local 100 is the union. What are you, Oral?
I'm a Field director.
Field director.
An organizer.
Yeah, well, he's a friend first before he's my field director. But it's just good to, like I say, to have that cushion, to know that the union do stand strong. Anyone who says that it doesn't, it does. And I just recommend the union to anyone who is employed that's able to get into a union.
Well, would you suggest to anyone listening to this program over the airwaves today that maybe they ought to join Local 100?
Oh, I suggest that everyone listening over the airwaves should join Local 100. You know, there is only a minimal amount of dues that will save you a lot of trouble.
Anyone listening should certainly tell their friends. All they have to do is go to acornradio.org on the internet, and you'll be able to listen to this interview anywhere in the world. We have a radio station in New Orleans that broadcasts it live out there for New Orleans, but then on the internet, anyone can listen to it that wants to. So, as we sum up the day, should food service workers get to work 8 hours a day?
Yes, we should.
Now, our program in HISD is to make sure that they get a little bit more money. So, we supported a campaign to raise it to $10 an hour, and now to $12 an hour. Now we're doing it, trying to get $14 an hour. So we're just asking people to say no to poverty. And you think that'd be a good idea? I think your workers would probably like it.
I think so, and they're very committed to their jobs. And if, you know, commitment, you should be rewarded. And I think that they should be rewarded with decent pay.
If you care about the kids, the district ought to care about you.
Right, right.
So we have just a couple of minutes left for this interview, about two or three. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'd just like to say union stand strong. Union members, try to get more union members. Try to encourage the union members that already exist. I hope that you'll encourage other members to join. And also, it's just a good move. And you can join the union by calling the number 832-556-2531. And or else at your school, you can always ask for a card to fill out to join the union.
If you call that number, we'll come out to the school and sign you up that same day.
Okay.
Now, I believe this is your first radio interview. Was it fun?
It was fun. You know, Oral, sitting around the table with you is always fun.
Well, this is Oral Fitzsimmons with Carmen Thomas from deep in the heart of Texas. We say together, stand
up and fight
for justice. Fight back. Oh, let's say it one more time.
Okay. Stand up and fight back for justice.
Amen, and pass the gravy.
Wait a minute. Y'all say, now I know I can read, and you just gone with it, Oral.
That was pretty good.
I think we make a duo. I think we do good.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.